Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm ready to get started. I'm excited about the book of Acts because there's a particular word tonight. There's a word, just one word from Jesus makes all the difference. How many believe that? Remember, it was Peter that stepped out of the boat. Now, folks give Peter a hard time about that because he sank. How many know that the story, it started well, it even ended well, but there was some shaky spot in the middle where he sank. The Bible says that they saw Jesus walking toward them on the sea. They thought it was a spirit. They cried out. Jesus told them, "Don't worry, it's me, it's me." And Peter said, "Well, if it is you, bid me come out on the water to you." And that's where he got his one word. Jesus said, "Come." One word. It's written in red. Not even a full sentence, just one word. He said, "Come." One word tonight. One word tonight. Of course, he got looking around and got to finish the story. He looked around and saw the winds and the waves were boisterous. He got his eyes off of Jesus and onto the winds and waves and the circumstances. How many of that can happen in your spiritual life? But Peter, being with the lightning fast mind of his, did the one thing, the one smart thing that you do in a situation like that. He cried out, said, "Lord, help me." Yes. Right? How many of you ever prayed this prayer that was that spiritual and profound? Yes. Spiritual and profound. "Lord, help me." It says Jesus reached out, took him by the hand, lifted him up, and walked him back to the boat. And when they got in the boat and sat down, and the water grew still, and the wind grew calm, and the rain stopped, and their blood pressure went down to an acceptably safe level, Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Amen. Amen. Well, tonight our word is not the word "come." Tonight our word is boldness. Boldness. And I want you to open up to the book of Acts, the fourth chapter. Yes, we're still in chapter 4. Last week, we had a time talking about verses 1 through 12. 12 was our focus verse where Peter and John said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name." Help me say it. "For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Tell me that saving name. It's the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. So here we are in Acts chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 14. Hey, Julian. Hey, buddy. Praise God, little pal. That's my pal. Amen. Verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Let's pray.
Praise God.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes the Word of God come to life in the mouth of the speaker and in the ears of the hearers, Lord, that Word that produces faith, that Word that brings light out of darkness, Lord God, that Word that illuminates, that strengthens, that establishes our hearts in grace, that Word that gives us the hope of eternal life, God, that word will come to life in us tonight, that it'll become rhema, the spoken word of God, into our hearts, Lord. As it says in the book of Revelation, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Lord God, we pray for hearing ears, God. We pray for soft, open hearts. Lord God, we pray that we'd have hearts like in the parable of the sower, ground that's been tilled, ground that's fertile, so that it'll take root downward, it'll bring forth fruit upward. And God will be glorified, and this church will grow. Woo! Because Jesus said, I will build my church. Come on, help me. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. So here it is. When they beheld the boldness of Peter and John, just a little bit of background, you know who they are. It's the Sanhedrin Council. It's the Supreme Court of the nation of Israel at that time. It consists of Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests, and their family, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of the religious elite of the day. And here's Peter and John when they're called into question about a miracle that had been performed on this impotent man. How they said, silver and gold have I none. Remember chapter 3? But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.
Amen.
And Peter reached down and took him by the hand. Lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he got up and entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And now we remember that it got the attention of the people, because people marveled. They gathered around them and they said, hey, why are you looking at us as though by our own power and holiness we made this man to walk? Jesus, actually the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, raised up and glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and crucified when Pilate wanted to let him go. And now, chapter 4, he got the attention not only just of the multitude, but of his adversaries, the Sanhedrin Council. They arrested them. Because he was preaching through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And we said the Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection or the afterlife. They don't even believe in angels. They had no belief in anything spiritual at all. They just took God's word, the legalistic portion of God's word, and were, Jesus said, binding heavy burdens and grievous to be borne on the shoulders of God's people, and themselves not lifting them with one of their fingers. Amen? Jesus called them whitewashed sepulchres. Beautiful graves. That's what they were. Outside beautiful, but inside full of dead men's bones. And that's who they were in front of, you know. That's who they were answering to. And these men, these Pharisees, who are trying them now for this crime of doing something good, saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now this word boldness is an interesting word. I looked it up in our Greek dictionary, and what it means is a lot of things. One, it means fearlessness to speak in the presence of people. Fearlessness. I'll tell you what, when it's a Christian's obligation and privilege and ministry and calling to witness and to share his faith, why do we sometimes freeze up? Why do we get dry mouth, shaky, knees knocking together, afraid to talk, afraid to speak? The Bible says that it was the Holy Spirit that came upon Peter and John as they spoke. That was a promise. Remember, Jesus had promised them, you'll be delivered up to councils and before kings as a testimony, but don't premeditate what you're going to say, because it's not you that speak, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to speak through you. And we have the same promise. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit, and it's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. You see, we rejoice when we read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where it says, behold, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. What is the power of the Holy Spirit for, according to Acts 1:8? It's power to make you a witness. Power to make you a witness. And so when we witness, we realize that we're not witnessing with our own power. We're witnessing with the power of the Holy Spirit. That should give us great boldness.
Amen. Amen.
Boldness also means a plainness and a clarity in speech. Without fear, without intimidation, without being timid, and clearly speaking. In other words, sometimes we try to beat around the bush. I know I'm involved in songwriting, and sometimes they warn you in songwriting, don't make your message too plain. You got to kind of make it cryptic, you know, so that the song has that poetic feel to it. People have to kind of listen to the song and kind of make up their own mind what it is the song is about. Well, that's what they say about it. That's not the way it is with Christian music. You say it plain. You don't cover up anything. There's nothing cryptic about it. You speak plainly and you speak boldly. Now, I believe it was 10 times that this Greek word for boldness was used about Jesus. But sometimes it wasn't translated as boldness. It's the same Greek word, but it said plainly, and then he spoke to them plainly, boldly, fearlessly. All of these other adjectives were in there that Jesus spoke. 10 times it's used of Jesus, and it's used throughout the New Testament. Paul said, pray for me that with all boldness I may speak your word. Amen? Paul said, pray for me because I need boldness. And if Paul, the great apostle that he was, prayed and asked people, pray for me that I'll have boldness. Folks, we need boldness. Amen? Boldness. That's my buddy Julian. He'll amen me when nobody else will. Glory to God. I need him on the front row. He's good. I love that guy. He's good. Boldness. We have another promise about power. Because this power brings boldness. Power brings boldness. I'm going to talk about a few things that bring boldness. The next is right there in the text. But this is another thing. You see, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you could be a witness. But Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm bold. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And so when we preach, we have power coming from two sides. One, the message itself is a power message. Amen. The gospel itself is power. And the Holy Spirit upon us is power. And so we have power from on high, creating power from within that sends a power message out of our mouths and it goes in. Paul said this. He said, and our preaching and our speech was not with enticing words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Hallelujah. And so power comes from on high into us like a shot of lightning. Pastor Kerry was talking about a dream. Was that a dream that you had or a vision that you had? A vision that he had here in this church of us ministering, himself, myself, and I'm sure others who minister, that what was it, just, you said, like light exploding out, like a river flowing out, but it wasn't a river of water. It was a river of explosive light coming out. I've witnessed to that. I bear witness to that. That there's a bolt of lightning coming out of heaven, coming right into you, and then shooting right down into your spirit where it steps up and then shoots right out of your mouth and goes into that people, so that you're not just saying words to them, but it's power. And it's the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. You could see that demonstration of the Holy Spirit as the tears begin to flow, as their countenance begins to change, as their hard heart begins to melt before the presence of the Holy Spirit. He said through Jeremiah the prophet, he said, is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? And that's what he does to the stony heart when we witness. All right, back to our text. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled. Let's look at these two words, ignorant and unlearned. The word ignorant comes from a Greek word, and I could remember it because it's actually very similar to our English word. It's the word grammar, G-R-A-M-M-A-R, grammar, and it has an A in front of it. So it means no grammar. In other words, these people were illiterate. It's the way that they were seen by the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, remember, that doesn't mean that Peter and John actually were illiterate. That's just the way that the Pharisees and Sadducees saw them up to this point. Up to this point, they looked at them and said, these guys are uneducated. They're fishermen. Actually, they didn't go to school with me, so they must be ignorant, right? They didn't go to our colleges. They didn't go to our school. If they were anybody, they'd be sitting here on this council with us. Yeah, they didn't see their college degree
or credentials,
right? You're right, Doc. And so they said that they've got no grammar. They've got no education. And then the word unlearned. Now, here's a Greek word for you. It may be hard for you to pronounce. I-D-I-O-T-A. Idiota. Idiota. That's the word. So they have no grammar and they're idiots. That was their impression. That was their impression of Peter and John. Now, it's interesting, the word, when we say an idiot, we basically mean a person that has jello for brains. But here, that's not really exactly what it meant in that day or in the Greek language. In the Greek language, an idiot is, say for instance, if you were in the military, you've got people that are high-ranking officers, and then you have the rank-and-file soldiers with lower enlisted men, GIs. They're not high-ranking. Those are, in their army, the idiots. The idiots. They're just the enlisted men. Or in society, you know, there are people that are well-to-do, people of means. And then there are common people, farmers and shepherds and ordinary folks. Now, the ordinary folks are commoners, are the word idiot, idiota, okay? So basically, that's your whole blue-collar set is what the word idiota means. So they weren't really saying that they perceived them as completely lacking intelligence. They just said they lacked education and they lacked social standing, all right? So there's our two words. They perceived it, that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. What that means, they were shocked by the boldness. Hey, does your boldness take people off guard? Does it catch them off guard? Do they marvel? When you're bold in your witness for Christ, when's the last time you had somebody just kind of taken back and a little surprised at the boldness of your faith? It should be happening all the time. Amen? We should change people's opinion about us. I mean, when they first see us, they may have one opinion. But after we've opened our mouth and allowed that anointing to come out in boldness, suddenly their opinions have changed. They have marveled. And look what it says. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's what I want people to think about me. That's what I want them to think about me. I want them not to look at him and say, I like the way he dresses, although that would be nice. Or I think he seems intelligent, he seems smart. You know, I like that guy, he's a nice man. I would like people to have a high opinion of me. But if I could have anybody say anything about me, I want them to be able to tell that I've spent much time with the Master. That I've been with Jesus. Amen. That person has obviously been with Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing will bring the boldness to your faith. Nothing will bring boldness to your life. You can try to put on boldness. You can say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to be more bold. And you can make up your mind and have a determination. I'm going to be bolder this year, you know? And New Year's is coming up. That's going to be my New Year's resolution. Be bolder. You know? You could do that. But you're not going to have near the effect that you'll have by going to the source. By spending time with Jesus. By being much with Jesus. Now, if we look at this literally, what they're saying is that they recognized them as ones who were followers of Jesus because they'd seen Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus had often been to Judea and to Jerusalem. And they were recognized. Oh, I remember you guys. You guys were disciples, okay? Now, we are not going to be recognized in that way. But we could still have this testimony, right? That's what it said about Enoch. For he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Well, I want to have this testimony, that he's been with Jesus. We've spent time in his presence. Spent time in worship and in the Word. Spent time with Jesus, and it has transformed us. Paul said it this way, that as we spend time beholding him, that we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody give the Lord praise tonight. Woo! Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo! Bless you.
Well, that's what we've read here in verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let's look at this, the perception that they had of them, and realize that we have something in common. If you go to, I believe it's 1 Corinthians. And we want to be in chapter 1. Verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. These ignorant and unlearned men. Now, I don't believe any of you are ignorant or unlearned. Amen? I don't believe that at all. But the way they were perceived was that they did not have the high-ranking education that they thought they had. You know, they certainly weren't on the intellectual level of the Sanhedrin, at least in their mind. Amen? And they weren't on that high-ranking level of social status that the Pharisees and Sadducees thought that they were. Amen? But let's look at our verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world. And things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing or to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, that's what it's all about. Hey, it's not about our standing in the flesh. It's not about our wisdom in the natural world. It's not about all of your degrees or your PhDs or anything else. But it's the time that you've spent in the presence of the Savior. Amen. Amen. That's what we're looking for throughout this coming year. Don't make a pledge to yourself, I'm going to have more boldness. Although you want to have more boldness, say this: I'm going to spend time with Jesus until the boldness of Christ is manifested in me. Amen? Praise God. All right, let's go on to our next verse. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 we read. Let's read verse 14 together. I've got to turn back in my text because I'm in 1 Corinthians now. So let's get over here. Verse 14, here it is. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. That's interesting, right? You see, they were giving a message of boldness, a message about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, raising up his son Jesus. He had basically implicated them in the crucifixion of Jesus. He called them murderers. Said, you condemned and killed the Prince of Life and granted a murderer to be, and requested that a murderer be granted unto you. And they could say nothing against it because the man that was healed was standing right there and they couldn't deny it. They had undeniable, irrefutable evidence that the message that they were hearing from the apostles was true. And they couldn't say anything against it. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Now, think about that. They can't even hand down a sentence. They can't even, they have to have some deliberation. They don't even know what to do. You know, here they are, two men who they perceived as ignorant and unlearned men have completely stumped the wise men. They're stumped. They don't know what to do. They have said, you guys, you're going to, could you go out for a minute? We've got to talk this over. When you have the Holy Spirit in you and you are engaged in witnessing for Christ, very often the intellectual person will think that he can easily confound you. But it'll always turn around the other way. The tables will always be turned. And there's an old saying that a person who has an experience is never at the mercy of the person who has an opinion. And here we are. A person who knows Jesus is never at the mercy of an intellectual or pseudo-intellectual who thinks that he has all the answers. Amen?
Yes.
He really knows nothing.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 16, here's the council. They're talking now. Peter and John are outside, but they must have been listening at the door, or they wouldn't know what to write here. It says, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed, I like that word indeed. They're not saying it's not true. Indeed. This is a fact.
Yeah.
An undeniable, irrefutable fact, for that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem.
Woo!
Woo! Yay, Jesus! Glory to God! Glory to God! For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. That's God. That's God. That's how God works. That's how Jesus works. Amen. That's what we're expecting God to do in our midst. Amen. As we're bold and we're diligent to step out in faith and with compassion, passion in our hearts for God, compassion in our hearts for our fellow man, we go out with the pure, that was what you said in that about that vision, that about that dream, that the Holy Spirit was speaking about that light, that shaft of light that was bursting out as we were ministering the gospel, that it was pure light, pure light. I want you to see that, because that wasn't just, I don't believe that God showed you that to encourage just you alone, although I'm sure that it did. And he shared it with me, and it turned me on. I know that was for every one of us. Amen? That was for this church, a word for this church.
Yes.
Pure light bursting forth out of your spirit, man. It's almost like, I don't know how you saw, but I as you said it, my sanctified imagination went up. It was almost like the chest cavity opened up and an explosion of pure light, like a photon cannon shooting out the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Glory.
And as we do that, we just allow that heart to come. Let your heart just open wide. And let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine out of you. Pure light. That notable miracles are going to be done. And they can't deny it. Because it'll be manifest to everybody that lives in Hudson and Port Richey and Newport Richey and Spring Hill. Come on.
Woo!
Glory to God.
Woo!
I feel Jesus in this place. 17. But that it spread no further. They've got to try to put a lid on this thing. They've got to try to contain it. It's already spread out to Jerusalem. But we've got to let it spread no further. We've got to build walls around this thing. We've got to stop it. Because this kind of thing, this kind of message, it's going to be contagious. It's going to spread like wildfire. And if we don't put a wall up there, Brother Jim, right now, we're not going to be able to hold on to it. We got a tiger by the tail. What are we going to do? That it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. This is the beginning of the persecution of the church. It starts with just a threat, but it's a strong threat. They to straitly threaten them and command them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. The name of Jesus is banned. You're not to speak that name. I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like. As a minister, I worked for a while for an organization, good organization. But whenever I gave a public prayer, I wasn't allowed to drop the J-bomb. You can't drop any J-bombs. You see, you got to be careful not to offend anybody. And so I could say, O God, our Creator, we thank Thee for Thy bountiful providence, Thy goodness, and we ask that Thy Spirit would comfort all that have gathered here. Today, as we celebrate the homegoing of this dear person who is now enjoying the bounty of Thy presence, we ask that Thou wouldest comfort the family as they mourn, wipe away every tear, and we ask it all in Your name. Amen. And take all of the fire out of it. Because without the name of Jesus, it's an unsigned check. And Brother Chad, you can't cash an unsigned check. You can't cash it. You know what it's worth? Nothing. Nothing. That prayer, you could put all sorts of adjectives and adverbs and pronouns in it. You could make it as beautiful as you wanted, and it's a lovely song, but it's powerless. Amen? That they speak to no one in this name, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In other words, they were bringing them right back to the Ten Commandments, which says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And there they were before the multitude, and they were asked, By what power or by what name have you done this? And they answered the question. And then they were commanded not to answer the question that way. And they said, but we have to say what we've seen and heard, because here we are on trial. And when you're on trial, it is against the law to withhold evidence. Amen. Am I right? Amen. If you have a testimony and you don't tell it, you have committed perjury. And so they could not perjure themselves in front of this court. They had more respect for the court than the court had for itself. And so they told the truth.
Yes, they did.
They told the truth. They didn't tell half the truth. How many know half of the truth is a whole lie? And so they told it like it was. And they said, what do you want us to do? We can only say what we saw and what we heard. And you have to judge whether it's right for us to obey God, who said you shall not bear false witness, or obey you, who said you can't speak or teach in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for what was done. That's the bottom line right there. Why does God work miracles? Why does He give power to His people? It's for His glory. It's that God may be glorified. It's the same thing that we read in 1 Corinthians. That's why He calls not many wise men after the flesh, and not many noble, and not many mighty, so that no flesh may glory in His presence, but so that God receives all the glory. To God be the glory. Why don't you give God some glory in this house right now, tonight? All men glorified God for that which was done. Verse 22, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. It doesn't matter, folks, how long you've been in the case. It doesn't matter how hard that case is. It doesn't matter how long you've been praying and believing, how long you've been seeking the Lord, or how many days have gone by where you woke up with hope but went to sleep disappointed because nothing had changed. It seemed like you prayed and the heavens were brass above you. That God had turned a deaf ear to you. He may have been helping other people. He may have been ministering to other people. But for you, day went on to day. Years turned into decades. And still there was no answer. But here the Bible says that God performed this miracle, where it says that He stood before them with perfect soundness. Perfect soundness. Peter, John, the apostles of the Lamb, standing before the Sanhedrin council. But it wasn't just two men standing there. There were three men, remember? Because they beheld the man who was healed standing there with them. Amen? There at the before the Sanhedrin council was not just the great apostle, Peter, and the beloved disciple, John. But it was Peter, John, and the lame man. We don't even know his name, but there he is before the council. This man who for 40 years had suffered, but God came along just in time for him. Amen. Turned his life into a testimony. He could do it for you. If you have a need, the song said we sang tonight, if you have a need, I know He has the answer. Reach out and claim it. For child, you're standing on holy ground. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet and pray. Heavenly Father, help us to spend time with Jesus, to be much with the Master, to always live and abide in the presence of the Savior, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And so everywhere we go and in everything that we do, we're filled with boldness. Lord God, that the light of the gospel of Christ will shine forth out of our faces, Lord. And our words will be bold. We won't withhold anything, Lord God. There'll be no spirit of timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. Anoint us. Anoint us with the dunamis, the power of the gospel, the power of the Spirit. And send us forth. Send us forth from this place in power and in demonstration of the Spirit. Lord, so that souls will be saved. So that Pasco County, West Pasco County, Hudson, and Port Richey will be turned to the gospel of Christ. Give us this city. Give us this city for Jesus. Cause West Coast Word of Faith Church to grow as you daily add to the church as many as should be saved. Father, we thank you for it. We believe you've heard this prayer and that you're answering it, God. You've seen our faith. As the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, you stopped here tonight at this little church and you saw faith. And you've answered. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We love you. We worship you. We adore you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.